the moment podcast fans around the world have been waiting for. Sponsored by Glovebox, it's time for the Cease and Desist Podcast.
Fellas, what's happening?
Hey.
Happy Friday. We made it.
I love Fridays.
Did it. I guess you might be listening on a Tuesday, but hey, it's Friday for us. So
cheers, anyone?
Cheers on a Friday.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Man, this is a fun episode for us. We got our boy in the building, Mr. Yusuf Zalal, the Moroccan devil, bantamweight contender in the UFC. What's up, Yusuf? What's happening, buddy?
What's up, my boys? How we doing?
Another day, man. Another win. We're here right now. Cease and desist.
So thanks for coming, man. Good to have you.
Oh, I got you guys.
Yeah. And you're wearing the shirt.
Cool,
thanks for wearing your shirt.
Cool intro. Yeah, it took 6 months to get the shirt, but I got it.
We came through.
Let me ask you
Sean
this.
Sean actually came through, though.
Let me ask you this. Is it the softest t-shirt you've ever worn?
Actually, it is. It is.
Yes.
This is a one wash, too. I've washed it one time, and it's still good looking.
You hear that? Softest shirt ever.
Yusuf, is it fair to say that our shirts are fire?
Oh, they double fire, for sure.
There you go. See
you,
that?
I got you. Yeah, that's,
if we could put you on the spot and you had to define our shirt in a description, how would you do so?
All right, you did put me on the spot now.
That's why you're here. That's why you're here.
Let's see. Slick, you know, nice and easy fit, you know.
We always like buttery. Buttery makes us feel good about the shirts. I don't know. We've heard buttery quite a bit. Yeah, you know.
I respect that.
It just melts right on your body.
I love it.
I mean, how many ways can you describe it? A swag t-shirt.
It's a t-shirt. Well, let's get kicked off. We're not going to jump into fighting, but I do want to talk about fighting because you're a fairly decent fighter. But
I would hope so.
You're from Morocco. When did you come to the U.S.? Like, tell us about that.
So I was 10 years old, and then when I came to the U.S. was until 12 years old.
Right.
So my dad and my older brother were here and kind of wanted to – we just came to visit them, you know. It's a long process it takes for you to even get a visa or anything, you know, to go in and be like, oh, you got to show them that you have this much money in your account. And so my mom and my dad had to go all through that. But this is the funniest story I've ever been to. I went to the American consulate to basically approve the process.
Yeah.
And we go in there. It was the craziest lady. So there's two offices, like right next to each other. And then you have a line, and then next. And then all I see this lady, like in the movies, not approved. Boom. Not approved. Boom.
Dang.
Not approved. Boom. And we were looking at it like this. We're like, are we going next?
Pass.
So thank God that somebody was ahead of us. And then they went. And we went to the other guy, which he approved us. But the guy that was in front of us got declined right after that. And I was like, oh, my God. This is the scariest thing. But yeah, I came here when I was 12 years old.
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah. And you've been here ever since?
Yeah, I've been here. I turned 25 on September 4th.
Getting old, bro.
Yeah, I don't
half
I know.
Your life.
Not a spring chicken anymore.
So I'm like, I'm officially American Moroccan. So it's like African American basically now. So
yeah, buddy.
Half year. You know?
Yeah, buddy.
How was your English when you moved?
Oh, not a single word. I saw the snow for the first time, so I didn't even know no English at all. So I had to learn English in the first 6 months. So it took me 6 months in middle school. The second semester of 8th grade to learn English.
The beautiful thing is none of us speak English very well, so it's not a big deal.
Oh,
I feel like I speak another language most of the time, so
you know,
it is what it is. Let me ask you, when did your obsession with cars begin? Because you love automobiles, right? Am I wrong?
Oh yeah, I love cars.
What kind of cars are you driving now? Let's just put it out there.
Actually, you guys got me into not Ryan. Sean and Logan got me into electric cars. You know, I was like, all right, cool. You know, I love electric cars, but I still love cars, you know, in general, any cars. Right. But I drive a Tesla Model 3 Performance.
Yes, you do.
Nice. And how many Teslas do you have?
Well, I don't see two.
Yeah, two. He had two Teslas. His one wasn't good enough. He had to get
his
two
and
of
hers
them.
Teslas.
His and hers. Like, yeah, for sure.
You're in good company if you go out into our parking lot right now. How many Teslas are you going to see? Like five or six?
Several. Four. That's enough. Let me borrow.
Electrics in general, man. We've all gone on the electric bandwagon. I mean, it's a different experience driving an electric, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You get that. Instant.
Yeah.
For those listening, Ryan and me, we train with Yousef, and Yousef was thinking about getting a new car. I was going, anytime someone says new car, I'm always, you know, you got to get an electric, you got to get a Tesla. It was maybe one or two sessions. You're like, I don't know, maybe. And then something switched where I'd be warming up, running around the gym, and you'd be like, well, this one can go this fast. This one can do this. And did you know this? And I was like, I did not know that. And you knew more about my car than I did.
Oh, man, YouTube is like my best friend. That's all I do and everything. It's like, as soon as you told me about the Tesla, and I was like, let me go see what this is all about. And, you know, and I looked at it, and I was like, wow. And then you remember when you gave me the test drive?
Yeah, I let you drive it.
And I was like, oh, God, I got to get one. And I was like, maybe not that one. Let me start with something else. But That was it.
I've had a former pilot in my passenger seat in my Tesla, and he had described the acceleration just like a plane would when you're on the runway and taking off. So
yeah, I mean, the G-force is insane. And Yousef, correct me if I'm wrong, you got everybody and their mom in the parking lot taking off in your car, and you're shooting videos of their face as you're off in the performance.
I think you guys should post this video. So my wife, Kat, which is a coworker.
I know Kat.
She works here at Cold Box. Shout out to Kat.
So she hates driving with me because I like, well, it's like I mess with her a little bit sometimes, you know, because the G-force is ridiculous. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, if you're not ready.
She's like getting a drink of water.
And if you've never been in an electric or you're not used to it, like you've never done that before, holy shit, man. This
reaction
is like,
pushes
it
back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she had coffee.
Oh, no.
And I waited.
Oh, come on.
I was going to.
Oh, come on.
Get there with coffee.
Oh, I did. I remember I got black seats. It's not white seats. So I could make them as dirty as possible. I was driving. I was like, I looked around and I turned around and I was like, all right, cool. Boop. And I hit it. And then all you see was this.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Hot coffee?
No. It was iced coffee. I won't do it. I'm not that guy, you know, but.
It was
the most hilarious thing. I think I have that video. I have to show you that.
Yes, I would like to see that.
We're going to use that as the cover for this episode.
Yeah.
You got to catch the one right there.
Got to get a screenshot.
We'll call it the hot coffee throwback right there. That's
and then we'll do the Tesla challenge where everyone has to take a picture of their passenger.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I told this to Ryan. I wanted to get a GoPro that records the
entire
just the passenger.
Yeah, just
the entire car
launches.
Would be dope if you've got like all four.
Oh, the outside too, like a drag racing and stuff like that.
Speaking of recording, I was in your car a month or so ago coming back from Sean's house, and you showed me a clip on your Sentry mode. Thank you. Of someone trying to take your car. Describe that.
Yeah. So the gym, the Factory X, it's literally in the middle of a lake. And a firefighter, like a training sessions they have. They have them like in the open field, I guess, like when there's fire and all that stuff, they learn it from there. And then, yeah, so like I parked my car because, again, I was like, oh, we had an electric and a gas-powered car. And I was like, let's take the gas-powered car to Boulder. I don't want to put miles on my car and all that. So I told Kat that. So we drove the other one, and I put the other one to charge because I have a charger at the gym. So, like, talk to coach, and coach was like, yeah, you're fine, just charge it, whatever. And I was like, cool, awesome, great. So I put it in there, and I get notifications every time, like, charger get off, charger completed, whatever. You know, you can switch that. I did. So we eating dinner in Boulder and all that stuff, and I get a notification that says, your charger was interrupted. And I was like,
oh, hell no.
I was like, what the hell? Like,
hell no.
So I thought the power went off. So that's what I assumed. I thought the power went off, came back. But as soon as I came back, and it was like, I think it was like, 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. at night.
It was at night, yeah.
Yeah, it was at night. And I open up the door to the car, and I see that says one sentry mode saved. And I was like, oh, God. I didn't even unplug the charger or nothing. I went straight to seeing that. And then I seen it, and I showed it. I seen it by myself, and then I showed it to Kat. I'm like, what the hell? The guy came in from the middle of the field.
Damn.
No shoes, no pants.
Are you serious?
Service.
Wow. What a rough evening.
Well, because our teammate was cleaning the gym late that night.
Yeah, usually I'm off to Taco Bell if I'm not wearing pants and shoes. Yeah, like, well, you know.
That guy had a rough night, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
He had a couple of drinks, I should say, but... No, but yeah, he kept messing, like he's trying to unplug my charger like this hard.
He was yanking it, yeah.
Oh, he was yanking.
He wasn't doing it right.
Jeez.
And then he just went with the bag. I thought he was gonna kill himself because he literally tried to grab copper out of the electricity thing.
Damn.
And I was like,
can you imagine that video? Someone just gets sent.
I mean, there might not be a worse place to steal a car than in front of an MMA gym where UFC fighters train. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, I think that's like the worst idea too. Like, as soon as they find out, they're like, they walk by when the garage doors are open. Yeah. They're like,
never mind.
Oh, whoopsie daisy.
Never mind. I'm just gonna walk away.
We should grab that video too. We'll post it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be a nice set of videos for this.
Cool feature that the car has to see who's coming in, who's breaking in. Yeah. It'd be cool if you could get that alert when you were in Boulder. And then maybe crack the windows a little bit and blast the speaker and talk through it.
Ooh, like
hey, asshole, get out of here.
Like a protected by Viper.
Hashtag
Elon. Oh, man.
Like the DMX.
Hashtag Elon idea.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Coming from Sean.
Or send your robot down, your Tesla robot to go handle this.
That's pretty crazy.
That's
head
crazy
down.
Get out of the trunk.
Head down.
It's pretty cool to see that. Like, okay, like once you get into the tech, you never want to stop. You always want to be in tech.
Yeah. So, speaking of, you just bought a house recently, right?
Yeah.
How was that process, man? Because I know that was a journey.
So whoever's listening, it's the most frustrating thing you would ever go in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm young. So, I am doing, like, adulting stuff, as they say. But it's it took me 60 days. And this is including my fighting. I have to focus on my fighting.
Yeah. You have a job.
So my job was I had a fight. I had the fight confirmed and everything.
Yeah.
And this was in the middle of all that. And I was like, all right, cool. So I was like, all right, that shouldn't be no problem. It should be easy, you know? But literally every day I'm getting a call. Okay, well, you got to text your accountant. Oh, you got to text this guy. Well, you got to talk to the lender. You got to talk to the realtor. Give us this paper. I'm like,
you got
to
get insurance.
Are you kidding me? The insurance.
You got to get insurance.
But I'm like, oh my God. So I was like, I had to go all that for the 30 days. And then looking at houses was a nightmare. I don't know if you guys know Colorado. It's
a tough market.
Well, like a lot of markets in the country, man, there's no homes. And if they are, they're sold.
Well, I heard everywhere is getting like crazy. Like Texas is getting more expensive.
Yeah.
Everything's getting more expensive. So that
the more expensive it gets, the harder the insurance becomes too.
Yeah, let me ask you this. So when you were going through like the preparation of mortgage, real estate, you know, insurance, all that stuff. Where on your priority list was home insurance? Like, where did that rank for you?
Actually, you guys are the one who helped me out with the home insurance.
Did we?
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah, Logan.
Well, then this is jaded.
Yeah, but I was like, because I was like, I didn't know what a home insurance was. And I thought you was like, you got to buy it, then you got to do it. But no, I guess like you have to do it in there.
So let me ask you, if your lender would have said, hey, Yusuf, here's my insurance person, use them and they'll get you a good rate, would you have probably used them?
Probably.
If you didn't know Logan?
Yeah, if I
most likely.
Logan, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Sean's brother, actually, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a referral.
Yeah.
But, like, during the process, it's pretty easy for the lender or the realtor to kind of steer that stuff of, like, hey, use this guy, use that girl. Like, she's good, he's good. Like, use them.
You didn't really care. It was a checkbox.
It's
for
my
you.
First time. So exactly. I was like, I just go with the flow. And I was like, all right. Like, this guy told me to do this. This guy told me to do that.
And you just want to get to the house. Like, just whatever it takes.
You got a fight you're worried about. You're putting in the offer. You're getting the paperwork.
Well, it's like, it's like a kid in the candy shop. You know, I was like, I was just looking at the reward, you know. I was not even.
Well, and Kat had already moved in her mind. She was like, she was mine. Furniture in her mind.
I would wish I have Kat's brain, you know, at that time. But I was like, all I was looking at was like, okay, my biggest dream is getting to reality soon. So I have to keep that, focus that. And I forgot about everything else, you know. That's how crazy it was. Yeah, it was crazy.
And you did it, man. And now you live in the burbs. So welcome to the burbs.
Which you're enjoying.
How you doing, Bob?
Do you walk out? Hey, Mike.
Nice green grass. It's recycling day, Bob. Don't forget.
Hey, that's what I told my realtor. I was like, if the grass is not clean, the whole neighborhood, don't put me there.
It's like, Bob, your dog gets on my lawn one more time. There's going to be problems.
I'm going to call my insurance.
Right.
Hey, speaking of insurance, out of complete curiosity, do you know who insures your house?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And who would that be?
Liberty Mutual.
Oh, man. Possibly a Safeco?
I think it may be Safeco.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
fair enough.
Hey, listen, man, I work both of them. Sean's brother and Logan told us. So we have...
You have USAA for your auto.
Yeah, we have USAA. Yeah, and obviously you guys have been with Kat. She the price went up because as soon as I got the Tesla, I got a speeding ticket. And then a couple months later, Kat backs into a wall.
Yeah, which we won't go down that road.
Yeah, we're
the wall came out of nowhere.
So we literally just called the insurance like a couple weeks ago because they said, oh, the new 6 months premium is coming up, and I turned 25.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the tickets came off because it's an experienced driver, I guess. I didn't even know this. And then we were asking, like, why is the price up? And I was like, oh, yeah, she told us, well, Kat is a liability of driving, so we got to be very careful of that.
We're going to remind her of that.
They're not wrong.
You are here driving like, it's crazy, so that's why the price is up. But we asked their Sean's brother and Logan, I was like, can you find us a better rate? They were like, first thing they said, do not leave USAA. Stay with USAA. There's no other rate than that. And I was like, oh, okay, thank God. I feel a lot comfortable now.
There you go, man. And then you have Glovebox to manage it all. So it's easy, right?
I still gotta get all through that with you guys now. And like, you guys gotta help me be an adult with the insurance now.
Like, yeah, it's more to come. So let's talk about fighting, man. Let's talk about it.
You have a big fight coming up.
You have this afternoon. I think Sean's going into fight, right?
Yeah. 2 hours.
That's crazy.
No.
Time too. Oh, my God.
What got you into fighting, man? Like, what drew you to fight? Because that's not a normal career for most people. Like, most people try to avoid fights, and you chose this as your profession. So how did that work out?
So it kind of, like, I chose it when I was, like, until, like, 21 or so. Yeah. But mainly it's my mom that chose it for me. It's like, so in Morocco, there's not the best friends you can hang out with, I should say. You know, it's pretty hard to have the opportunities that you have here back home, you know. So it is what it is, you know. It's the person who made you, you know. That's the country that made you, you know. Yeah. But, so my mom was like, no, you're going from school straight to gym. That's it. Yep. And I was doing kickboxing when I was 10 years old. And then me and my sister would literally be done with school, go home, eat, change, and then walk like, I'd say like five blocks, six blocks, and then take a taxi. We had like a white taxi and a red taxi. The white taxi is like, it's an old Mercedes that fits like seven people in there. It's crazy.
Right.
It's like, and then like, yeah, we just take that taxi, takes us there, and then we don't come back until like, God, I think it was like 10.
Dang.
At night,
yeah.
Did your sister train as well?
She used to.
Do you think she could beat up Sean?
I don't know if anyone. Sean actually. I like this.
Oh. I like this matchup right now.
Question. They're coming to you live, pay-per-view, you know. But
Yusuf's sister for Sean. Yeah. Nice.
It has to be Yusuf's sister.
And I'm her trainer in the background for the
in the corner. Yeah.
I want front row seats to that cat fight.
They're getting ready.
I'm not going to accept this fight. There's more negative.
There's no win-win there. Yeah.
Sean's got to negotiate the
Sean and four.
Oh, you beat Yusuf's
Sean
and four. Good job.
Nice.
No, but yeah, so it's like we've been doing that, and then I had my first fight. It was like a tournament. And in Morocco, it's not like, it's like here, they had, all they had is mats, and then they had two coaches sit in the end with a chair. So you have like exactly how I'm sitting, sits right here, one corner, and the other guy sits in one corner.
Wow.
And that's literally the ring.
And was it just kickboxing at that point, or were you? Kickboxing. Oh, cool.
We called it full contact. It's like full contact. But it's crazy. It's, you used to wear pants instead of shorts.
Yeah.
You know those old days kickboxes? I don't know if you guys ever watched them. Then we put shin guards under and then put pants on, so you don't even see the shin guards.
That's a cool style.
Yeah. So they had.
See, I would wear like pajama jeans over my shin guards. Very, very casual,
like
yet.
But like, pow, got you, you know? Yeah. But that's what they literally did. And we never had a mouthpiece. Like, I never had a mouthpiece. I spar with gloves,
dang,
shin guards. Go at it.
What ounce gloves are you sparring with at that point?
God, I don't even remember. To be honest.
12 ounce?
I don't know.
Construction gloves.
And it was kind of free for all. Like anyone could just spar as much as they could.
Well, I mean, they come from gyms. So they have all these gyms come in, and then they're like, okay, this is the weight class. This is this and that.
Different rule set?
yeah, like kind of go from there. But
right,
it's literally it's that was the most nervous I've ever been in my whole life.
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Dang.
10?
10 years wow. old. Yeah, 10 years wow. old. So yeah, I was went there and sat down, and I'm looking at everybody fight, and I'm getting scared and scared and scared. And I go in there, and I was like, just get, I got demolished. But not like finished, but like just.
It's like, what did your mom get you into, man?
Oh, man. Were your parents there watching?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it was my cousins that were there. Yeah, my mom and my dad was not there.
It'd be hard to watch as
yeah.
a parent.
Yeah, so they were like, we went there. My mom still doesn't watch to this day.
Really?
She doesn't watch.
Man.
She never watched the fight.
Wow. Even a replay?
It's like, she watches replays. After she knows what happens.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, she always calls me. I'm like, okay, did not. But yeah, that after that, I was like, oh God, I didn't want to do this. I was terrified. I was like, I don't know. And I was always getting bullied as a kid in school.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh God, I don't think fighting is going to be working out.
Yeah.
But the second fight and I had, there was 11 years old. And that was, they had like a gym home tournament. Like in the gym tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like two posts in the gym and they did a bunch of rope around it and that was the ring.
Wow.
So they made it as a ring. Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. That is
yeah,
crazy. Cool. Yeah.
And I go in there and just smoke this kid. And I was like, what? And I just started falling in love with that and they gave me a medal and stuff and all that. So I was like,
fell in love with the winning feeling?
Yeah. Top
was,
of the world.
When you're before your first fight, you said you're feeling scared, nervous. Like, there's a lot of parallels to that to any other industry. Not quite as, like,
in my mind,
it wouldn't be quite as scary as going into a fight, but a lot of people in our line, they get nervous to pick up the phone, to walk into a building and just meet somebody. You know, they're not going to get hurt.
You know, they might just
be a little nervous, but
how they're also trying to put food on the table. They're trying to provide for their family. Sure. It is like death in a way, right? I mean,
yeah, sure. That's a way to put it.
But what, at 10 years old, what made you actually take the step and go in as opposed to like, I'm going to let the fear consume me and I'm not doing this?
I would say like, it's like, you know, it's like your coworkers almost, you know, like, hey man, I'm not really good at, I don't want to talk to this guy and this and that. So like, you really have to teach him how to kind of deal with it, you know? So that's how I kind of learned from it too. Like my mom and my cousins were like on me, you got this. Like, you know, I was like sad. I was like, this is terrible. I almost pooped my pants just being here. Like, what do you mean? What are you guys doing? I'm 10 years old. I'm like, boy, what is this? This is not cool. But I fed off of their energy, you know, and it kind of helped me kind of like, okay, maybe I got another chance, you know?
Was it after a couple of fights your confidence started to grow and then does the nervousness go away or is it always there? With
the nervousness never goes away, right. But what goes away is how you deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I can deal with anything because I learned how to do it at extreme levels. Yeah. So if I feel comfortable talking to somebody, I learn how to feel comfortable talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And that's how I been so good at communicating with everybody. I don't care who it is, even if I hate you, you know? But
yeah.
That's a strong word to say, but still, you know? But yeah, that's like what fighting kind of teaches you in that sense. You're like, you go with so much fear that it's like, you can't see nothing but that. Like, I'm going to get you hurt. Like,
I mean, you think a worst case scenario in every instance, right? Not just with you, but with anybody. Calling on, you know, referral partners or starting a new industry or, you know, whatever. It's worst case scenario. Like, what's the worst case? And that's a natural thing to have. I wonder, does that ever fade, though, for you of, like, going into a fight? Like, oh, what's the worst case scenario? Or, like, do you more focus on now what's the best case scenario, you know, kind of based on your preparation?
Both. You want to be real with yourself. You know, you can't be like, you want to, in this sport, you want to be delusional.
Yeah.
But not too delusional, you know? Like, you're like, okay, what's the worst things can happen?
Right.
You can name them, right? It's like count fingers. You're like five fingers. It's pretty simple. You can get knocked out. You can get submitted. You can get injured.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Sure. You
know? Like, nothing else can happen.
Right.
Beside that. So when you get that in your head, be like, okay, well,
I'll work from there.
I have four things to worry about. Yeah. Now I got to work from something else, you know? It's like, all right, but now what's the good things can happen? I can knock him out. I can submit him. I can win by decision. I can do all this
stuff. You could get a proper number 12 sponsorship from Conor McGregor. God, you just never know what might happen.
Is that on the table?
So. I think you should create the Moroccan version of Proverbs 12. That's what I think. So,
oh my God.
So fast forward. So you started at age 10. Fast forward. You started training in the U.S. How did that work? How did you end up at Factory X? How did that come about?
So when I came to the U.S., I was 14. I mean, 12. But 14, I started kind of went into this gym. And it was, I don't know if you guys ever seen Bobby Lashley. So he's like the WWE heavyweight champ right now.
Okay.
I think. But he's like a great wrestler. Like, huge guy. He was like 230, just like big.
Just yoked.
We showed up to the gym. It's crazy. It's crazy athletic too. I seen him lift heavyweights from a triangle. They had him in a triangle. He lifts heavyweights.
Jesus.
That's 260 pounds. Wow. Yeah, that's how crazy it is. Yeah. And I never, that's the first time I ever got rocked. It was by him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So man.
Imagine it's easy for someone that big to rock.
I mean, that's a little bit out of your weight class, so just a little bit.
Yeah, we were in there, so we had an apartment complex. I was living with my dad, and then it was like right across. It was a gym called American Top Team, and I go in there, and that's when he was doing WWE, and kind of like training for MMA. And then we went in there, and I was like, all I see is this guy just beating that crap out of the other guy. And I'm like, what is this? And I never saw cage fighting. So I was like, man, that's weird. Why are you being in a cage?
Yeah.
There's no boxing ring. There's no nothing. Like, that's what I'm used to. It's kickboxing, you know? So I go in there, and he was the manager of the gym, basically, because the gym just started up.
Yeah.
So after his workout, he comes sit next to us, and I'm not even playing with you. His guy, his trainer, was around him bringing him two towels at a time. Because he was sweating nonstop, talking to us.
That's how I felt yesterday, honestly, leaving the gym. I was sweating crazy. I was there for 20 minutes, but digress.
He does take like 10 minutes before he leaves. So. That's how I feel at Landau. I take like 20 minutes crazy. Before I leave. That's... I almost pulled over, actually, on Monday. I almost pulled over and I was like,
I don't
like,
want to get the sweat on the new Tesla.
It's another conversation. Oh, yeah.
God. But yeah, so he's like, sat there and he just kept drenching himself. He's like, five, literally like, 2 minutes later, again, he's sweating. And I'm like, I don't speak no English. So my dad's doing all the talking. And I'm just listening. My dad's like, oh, yeah, he did kickboxing before. He wants to get him back to it and all that. So as soon as we found out what the price was and all that stuff, my dad was like, oh, maybe not now and stuff like that. So, all right, whatever, you know, cool. Just focused on school. As soon as I went to high school, they closed that gym and they opened the giant one.
Yeah.
Right up across the street, like two blocks away. And that one had a wrestling ring, a boxing ring, a kickboxing ring, a cage, and then they had like mats. And then
that's probably when like mixed martial arts was getting popular, right? Yeah. Like it was getting more mainstream.
I think when I was, I came in and I saw a bunch of no shirt dudes just wrestling and grappling each other, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, why am I here? You know, and I just did the kickboxing class, but they kept forcing me to do jujitsu.
Yeah.
Like, do jujitsu. I was like, all right. So I did jujitsu, and that's like when everything started from there, I would say. But I didn't have my first kickboxing fight until I was 16 years old in America. There was like first American kickboxing fight.
Nice.
What was that experience like after having a 5-year layoff?
Yeah. It was kind of like, it was kind of cool. Like, you know, you get to put the memories back on, you know, you're like, oh man, I haven't done this in so long. I was excited to do it.
And kickboxing is brutal, man. Like, kickboxing is no joke.
If you do kickboxing, it's like, you normally MMA, like, you have like a week or two off. Kickboxing, you're like, you need a month off, like,
and there's nowhere to hide, man. Your legs just get beat
up.
Your
legs are gonna be bruised up for sure, no matter what you do. Your legs are gonna be brutal. Bruised up.
So kickboxing, 16. And then when did you start fighting full MMA after that?
So I couldn't fight MMA until I was 18.
Got it.
You have to.
Oh, is that a rule?
Yeah. I don't know if they still have it in Colorado, but like, if you fight in like Midwest and stuff, they will there sometimes.
Yeah.
But like in Colorado, you have to be 18. And my coach, my old coach, was very, very like smart guy and very protective. He was like, spar with the headgear. I had to sign a paper before I fought. At a kickboxing fight. And the funny story about that is, after a month and a half doing jiu-jitsu, I went to do a tournament. And then I just got demolished. I got submitted in 30 seconds. The second round, I just got submitted, I think it was like 40 seconds. So I was like, oh man, at least I survived 40 seconds.
Yeah.
My dad, my gym dude was coming up, and my dad was like, I don't know if I want to pay for this kid's going again.
Not working out.
Because when they talked to my coach when they offered us the fight, this is after months later after the tournament, they offered us the fight and they're like, my dad has to come in and sign a paper.
Yep.
He has to come in.
Yeah.
And then he came in and he asked him, was like, you sure he's ready?
I've been watching him fight. He's not very good.
He's like, trust me, I won't have him do it if I was not that confident. And then we literally go in there, and at the weigh-ins, I can show. I think I still have a picture, or I actually have the fight video. It's this giant guy that I was fighting at. I think it was like 140, 130.
It was the guy that used to own the gym, the wrestler. What's his name?
He was
a solid 250.
So literally, think about that in a smaller version.
Jeez.
The same way. And everybody was looking at me like, because we were fighting with the headgear and gloves and shin guards.
Yeah.
And everybody was looking at me like, what the hell is this skinny kid fighting? Why is he fighting this guy?
This
like,
guy's going to die.
He's about to get killed.
Yeah.
And literally, all I did for the three rounds, just boom, hit, move, boom, hit, move. And they were like, oh, this kid may actually
just call out point.
This kid got some skills. I fought for the belt the next fight.
Nice.
Yeah, one
man.
I think it was like, I actually just got a memory today. It was like 7 years ago. I got a 131, 137 junior belt.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a promotion called Bing Bang.
Nice. Using the Mayweather strategy, just punch and move.
Yep.
Don't get hit.
You should be wearing that belt around still.
Oh, I still have it.
Yeah, you should wear it to the gym. Yeah. That'd be hilarious. Yeah,
that would be super hilarious.
That'd be great. So 18, you start full MMA.
Yeah, so 18, I started full MMA.
How was it like when, like, your mentality when you first get into it and you lose fights? Like, how was that, you know, for your psyche?
So the first fight I lost was an amateur fight.
Right.
That was my first loss. So I was destroying everybody. I was 4-0.
Right.
I think it was 5-0 actually. Yeah. No, 4-0. Yeah, I was 4-0 coming in. And I just switched gyms because our gym shut down. Because Bob Lassie had so much stuff going on.
The steroids got to him, and you know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but he's been moving around. Like, he's too busy. He's in London the next day. He's in Italy the next week. He's in this and that. So nobody was taking care of the gym. But my coach recommended for me to go to Factory X.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, you have a striking background. You're a striker. I'll recommend you go to Factory X. I was like, all right, awesome, man. Like, cool. We'll try it out. So, like, I went in and tried it out for a week. Started sparring, training with them and all that stuff. We loved it. It was me and my friend Austin. We moved in there. So, I was like, all right, cool. Like, try it out. But literally, after training for a year with them, or a couple, like, 7 months or so, I think, I did Ramadan. I don't know if you guys heard of it.
Yeah.
You know what Ramadan is. It's like I fast from sun up to sundown. No water, no food, no nothing.
And it's a month, right?
Yeah. Everybody thinks it's just food. No. It's no water either.
Wow.
And I was doing three practices a day.
Man.
With no food, no water. So this is how.
That's clinically insane.
That's how.
And you do it every year.
Every year.
Obviously,
So now I take it 30 days off. Like, I don't do nothing. Like, I just teach my clients, that's it.
And then you eat after hours, you just stuff your face.
No, actually, you lose a lot of weight than you think.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's like, and I was like, doing that, I'm so fatigued. And I go into a fight, and this kid was a grappler. So all he wanted to do was take me down.
Yeah.
And literally, my whole muscles just gave up.
Yeah, I bet.
In the second round.
Yeah.
Just gave up. They're like this. Because Ramadan was over, and then I had 2 weeks, and then I started cutting weight.
Yeah.
And then fight. And I was like, oh, God. And that's when I used to drop to 35 still.
Yeah.
And then that was a bad idea. But that loss was like, wow. You're like, you sit down and be like, oh, I suck. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I just want to quit. I just want to leave. Why am I doing this? And all these thoughts go in your head.
What brought you back?
Well, it's kind of like more of like, I have to prove something to myself.
Yep.
Like, you know, you'd be sitting down and you're like, well, I can't be no quitter. I can't do this. I can't.
Right.
I can't at least leave with that. You know, that's the all goal. And the team obviously helps with that. You know, if you have a good team, it helps with that. You know, like you got your coaches checking on you. Like, yo, where you at? Why are you not training?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? You lost. Like, you lost. Let's move on. We learned.
That's life, right?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like helps a lot. And the next fight was the best performance I did as an amateur.
Man, and how good did you feel after that?
Oh, I walked in with so much like bulletproof confidence in that fight. I didn't care. I was like, I'm winning this fight.
Yeah.
Literally, that's all I said. It was like, I'm winning this fight. Yeah. And then what made it even better, the guy missed weight. So I told Coach, I was like, because he was it's rough weight cut.
I cut. And this was still in 35, right?
Yeah, I cut from 161 to 135.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And that's in like a 3 weeks period. I had to do that. So and I was like, and I told Coach after that, like literally that day before I even fought, I was like, I'm going pro after this.
Yeah.
And then he was like, just go fight. And then I just showed this kid that there's levels to this. And then I was like, he was like, yep, you're going pro. And he told me that on that day. And I was like, that was one of the happiest like moments.
Yeah. I think we always talk about just our experiences in business. You know, really anything in life that you really want. But quitting is easy, man. Like quitting is easy. And I feel like 90% of success is just being having the perseverance to get through, you know, the negative times and whatever it is that you're doing, whether it be business, selling insurance, whatever. Just pushing through, man. Having perseverance to that next moment. To get to that next win, right?
I think Denzel Washington said that in like some college graduation. He's like, if you're not feeling it, you're not doing nothing right.
Yeah.
Or you're not like challenging yourself to get better, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you want something new, you have to try something different.
And I think like people look at, you know, they look at others that you know, they envy their success, and the recipe is not difficult, man. You just refuse to quit. Maybe I always say we're just dumb enough not to quit. Like that's our problem, but it's also the solution. It's true, man. Like we're dumb enough to not go away enough to where we end up being successful because we just don't go away.
I don't think you guys will let yourself quit anyway.
It literally is, man. It's war of attrition. It's like, who's just going to stick it out the longest to be successful? It's not.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of this with sales. Like, I know my wife, Kat, went to, like, sales before. And, like, kind of, like, I can see how much it does to you just how you act outside of the job.
Yeah.
Like, what we learn in fighting is, okay, whatever the outside life is going on, it's going on. But when you walk into that gym, it's just a gym. That's it. It's your workout. Leave all the BS outside. That's what Coach always tells us. Screams at us. Leave the BS outside. All this, we don't care.
Yeah.
This is fighting. You're training. This is your job.
It's business
time. You clock in. That's it. This 3 hours you have, you clock in.
Yeah.
And then every time I see, like, when my wife was working sales, like, she'll come in, and then you can just see. You're like, what the hell did she just go through that day? But again, it's like something that she was not comfortable with before and stuff like that. But it's kind of like I seen that all the way across too. Like people do their jobs, like one job for like, for example, if I do insurance, I'm like, I don't know. Like I want to quit, but it's like, it's kind of like you can see the difference for sure. But
the parallels are cool. The highs are high. The lows are low. And you always hear those stories about, maybe it's not even the stories. It's how do you even get that much better unless you have that comparison, that's something to reference to push you harder.
Yeah,
I'm sure in that fight where it was tough, you worked harder in the gym the next day.
Oh yeah,
you know, yeah, you could have quit and then you'd have been done, and then maybe you would have been selling insurance. Who knows?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But when you have that down, you either work harder and get better, start getting some new wins, and you get to learn. Oh, I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I could do this better. And it's always, you never find anyone that's really been successful. Maybe you do. You don't find people super successful that have not had some serious
setbacks. I doubt it, man. I mean, like Elon Musk, for instance, he was minutes from going bankrupt when Tesla was tanking. Like he put out the Roadster, everybody hated it. It was awful. And it was almost bankrupt.
Logan loved it.
He got bailed out, but we won't go into that. And, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, it makes the wins way more sweet when you have failed trying to do the same thing, but you fixed it, you went back to the drawing board, you did it better, you persevered, and the wins are sweet. And I think
the leaders, like whoever the leader is, so I play like it's not a team sport, but it's kind of like a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, I'm training with all the guys, but it's like whenever you have a good leader, which is the company, whoever the boss is, it kind of changes all that, you know. It kind of really makes you a whole different thinking of, okay, oh, I have a bad day, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, like, when you come into the office and talk to the boss, it's a whole different story, you know? You're like, Your job is on the line. Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I'm gonna work my butt off.
I think we shun failure and we glamorize too much on the wins when we should in fact be glamorizing the failures as well. Because again, that's a teaching moment. And if you're not in a place in your professional career where they can incubate, you know, failures and help you get better, then you're in the wrong place. Period.
Yeah, coach tells us still to this day. I don't care about the results. All I care about is your effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
It's focused on the activities that are going to produce what you want.
You can't go in and so much focused on results that because what people do, and I've been there before, it's like you focus so much on winning. And then when you lose, it's like the most devastating.
It would be like Yusef getting upset when he spars with us because we're just superior athletes. We have fantastic form. It's really not his fault.
It's not.
He's such a good coach that our punches are straight, our kicks are straight.
He should be like a proud coach, you know, when I slip and hit him with the left.
I get cracked sometimes. I'm like, yeah, leave.
When I get my wife in an arm bar, he's always my biggest cheerleader.
That's my excited moments.
I was telling Yusef, I was like, I don't pay you enough for me to come in here. I'm punching man, like that ain't worth it for you. So you turn pro after that fight. Tell me about like the time frame from being pro to then getting that call up to the UFC last year.
I've obviously, you guys know me, I'm like a very like hyper person.
I was gonna say swaggy, but that's cool. You can go hyper too.
I keep you swaggy. I'm not sure that's the word I'm gonna use that. But no, like I'm very like energized person. Like my heart rate probably right now, I guarantee you, it's like 119, 120 right now.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. You said it's like abnormally high.
Yeah.
Like
it goes up to like 200.
Yeah.
No problem. And yeah. I can push it to 200. No problem.
Yeah. Cause
it will go there.
The UFC was it the Institute. They thought you were having
the guy looked at me like I was crazy. He was like, no, we have to stop. I was like, why do we have to stop? He was like, well, your heart rate's at 202, and then there's so much carbon dioxide coming in your body, I have to stop.
Yeah.
He's like, you're just going to get fatigued. I was like, well, I didn't feel nothing. I was like, that was easy. But yeah, he was like, nah, but like I'm very hyper person, like very ready. So my fight career, this still to this day, it's been very active, quick. Like my pro debut, that was 8 weeks. I trained for 8 weeks. That was actually one of the only fights till this day that I had full camp.
Yeah.
The rest after that, I fought 2 weeks later. I took a fight on 2 hours notice.
Jeez.
Yeah, I fought at 145. So that's when we decided to go 45.
Yep.
We're like, I don't know, let's make the weight cut easy. So instead of going 35, let's go 45.
Yep.
And I go in there and I won my pro debut. I submitted the guy with the darts.
Yep.
My jiu-jitsu guy, you know, Sean probably knows this.
I know it.
His wife does it to him all the time. So. if the hand towels are not just so in the kitchen.
I'm not accepting money to watch them go at it, you know, pay-per-view live.
I want a webcam in Sean's kitchen.
I'm going to start recording it, you know.
Better get those dishes out.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, this chicken's a little undercooked, would you say?
Oh, my gosh. The barbecue's still on. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus.
The lawn is still long.
Oh, Jesus. For those of you who don't know, Sean's wife, Cass, trains with him and Yusef, and she is athletic, to say the least.
She's not striking yet. She's in love with jiu-jitsu.
Thank God.
She's more aggressive than I am.
If she did striking, I'd be afraid of her too.
Well, I don't know why she did it. I was like, I wanted to see what she can do. But I feel
man,
like, yeah, she's athletic for sure.
Yeah, she's good.
But yeah, it was like
any ideas.
It
sure.
was
exactly. No.
She probably listening.
That's my time.
Yeah, right.
But no, yeah. So it was when we did that, like staying active. I had my first fight, and that was 8 weeks of training and all this stuff. And a week later, so we always take a week off in the fight team.
Right.
So when you fight, you have a week off and then get back to work. That's basically what it is. And then that's when you get like big.
Yeah.
Like your body is like, I get to eat pizza,
donuts.
I get to eat donuts. Yeah. And I don't even have to worry about training or nothing. So I go in the next week, started training, but we had like 7 or 8 guys fighting in First Bank Center.
Yeah.
For LFA, this promotion called LFA. And I don't know if you guys been in the gym. You saw that sauna. It's a small
sauna.
Yeah,
it's tiny.
It's a small sauna because we like it because it gets so hot.
Yeah.
And so many people in it, it gets hotter.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, God. So this is easy weight cuts, you know.
I mean, and the gym is already 90 degrees, so I can't imagine what the sauna is.
Summer is like the worst thing.
Man.
Summers.
Yeah.
The winters, at least we have a heater.
Right.
So it kind of makes it a lot better.
Yeah.
But literally, we had 7 guys in that sauna. 7 guys. And I'm talking this sauna.
I thought that was a single person sauna.
It's smaller than the room we're in. It's way smaller than the room we're in.
Yeah, way smaller.
It's like a quarter of the size.
Significantly.
And it's literally 7 guys. But this is when I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
And I used to ride. So finish practice. And then I would ride to the Mark to Landau.
Yep.
Because I was like, I don't want to stay in the gym. Because right. I didn't have a car. I was like, whatever. I'm just going with the Mark.
Yeah.
And then I had his phone. He was like, just keep an eye on my phone. Because we had a teammate helping him cut weight, and he was like, if he calls, if he sees a message, let me know so I can see what's going on. Because we had 7 guys, you know, you get worried because you got to make sure the number one fight for us is to make weight.
Right.
That's all that matters.
After
that's
that, how you're good. Yeah.
If you make weight, you get the first check. You get half of your check already.
Right.
So when you win, you get the second check.
Yeah.
It's crazy business. Think about it. You have to win to get the second check,
which
is crazy. But yeah, and then we get a call. It says, hey, my teammate passed out and hit his head.
Oh,
he
got,
like, out. He was out. Like, out.
He lost the fight.
Dang, he was sparring with Sean, basically, is what happened.
As soon as coach heard that, he was like, well, you're out. You're not fighting. Literally, like, the kid almost, he was heartbroken. Like,
yeah.
Because he worked for, like, 7 weeks or something.
It's kind of not his fault. That's too bad.
Technically, it is kind of your fault. It's the way you diet and eat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of makes it harder.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. It's life. And I don't even know.
Body's going to do what it's going to do.
I'm sure it happens.
His manager was there at Landau working out. And he's, like, running around. You want to see somebody has a stressful job? Is look at managers.
God.
My manager right now does not sleep. His phone is on the whole time.
Right.
Does not sleep.
Right.
He went on a vacation and he went to the ocean to get stuff done. Like, oh, I got this guy in the UFC. Oh, I got this guy in here. Oh, I got this guy in here. I'm like, you live the most stressful job.
Because if he doesn't answer his phone, somebody else will, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how he thinks about it, too. He's like, well, if I didn't answer that phone, I lost the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Like, you'd be talking to him right now. If we sit in this broadcast right now, he's like.
I mean, that's how insurance agents are. That's how I was.
Yeah.
If I get a lead.
I don't even know that. So, yeah,
better
like, I even
better
know
answer
that.
The phone.
Yeah, I don't even know
insurance
that.
Agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, that's, like, the most stressful job. But he walked up to me, and he was like, wait. Like, he walked up to me, and he was like, you want to take this fight? I was like, sure. And Mark, like, when we were driving back home, back to the gym. So we were driving back to the gym. And then they were like, how much you weigh? And I weighed myself, and I was, I think I was 160.
Jeez.
And I had to make 155 because they told me he was taking a short notice, 2 hours, making 155. The whole ride to the gym because I had to go back to the gym to cut weight.
In 2 hours?
In two hours.
2 hours, yeah. So listen to this. This is how crazy it is. The whole time, coach was like, you don't have to take this, Yusuf.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, it's okay. And I was terrified. I was scared.
Yeah.
As soon as I found out, like, okay, they took the fight because they called their team and then asked them. They're like, hey, we have a replacement. Would you take it?
Was it being fought at 55 or they were letting you weigh in at 55?
No, like it's fought at 55. At
55. Well, that's huge for you.
Well, the guy made weight at 145.
Got it.
But
he'll be 160, 165.
This is the biggest guy till this day
I
ever fought.
Wow.
Biggest day to this day, since to this day.
Yeah.
I go in there, start cutting weight with his manager.
Yeah.
And we're just cutting weight. And I was like, before I left the gym, I was 156 point something. So I was like, they were like, oh, we have to go. Like, because the place was in, I think it was like 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
Or like an hour and a half away.
Man.
So this guy sticking me in a car with a heater on, all windows up. And I'm in a sauna suit, in a sauna suit with like everything. I thought I was going
to
die.
And this is leading up to the fight.
Yes, this is going to weigh in.
This is not the night before. Yeah, this is leading
night
up
before.
To.
This is the
oh,
night before.
Oh, it's night before. Okay, got
so
it.
So we go in, and I'm like, I'm dying. I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, I ended up weighing in 153.
Oh, man.
That's how much weight I cut. I cut more weight in the car than in the sauna.
Easy.
That was like that sounds awful. Yo, it's we've done it a couple of times. We've done it a lot of times. Like yeah. guys have to drive to Pueblo to weigh in.
Yeah,
we've done it a couple of times. Like you have to have heater on blast. It sucks for us that
yeah, the, even not the fire yet. Yeah, it's not driving. Fun for anyone.
But I'm drinking my cold Gatorade or something, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I showed up to the weigh-ins and I weighed in. And I was like, whew, thank God it's fight time. And this is I fought a week before that.
Yeah,
and I come in and then the face-off comes in. When I say I was like. Like, it was like a dead silence. I was like, I'm fighting this guy? I was like, nobody told me this? I was like, you guys think this is a good fight? And I go in, and I'm like looking at him up, like looking up. And I'm like, oh, my God.
He just pats you on the head?
He was weighing in at 145. And I was like, this kid had never fought again since then because they found kidneys in his stone in his kidneys.
Yeah.
That's how much weight he cuts.
Man.
And I went in there, and I'm like, I went home, and I was terrified.
Yeah,
I literally thought about. I was like, I'm not doing this. I was like, I want to stop. And that's when Coach called me the next day, and he was like, I felt like Superman the next day.
Yeah,
I was ready to go. I go into that fight, and I have a cool picture that I'm looking like this, and I'm trying to look mean too. I'm like,
they're like, son, where's your dad?
I'm looking at him.
Is your dad around?
No, it's the funniest thing. I'm looking around like I was like. God, and LFA never knew who
we'll
I was.
We'll get this picture. We'll post it.
Oh, my God. LFA never knew who I was. Like, who the hell is this kid? They're like, whatever. He's a funny kid, whatever. I go in there, and I get cracked the first 7 seconds.
Oh, no.
Man.
And I found out the day of the fight, he's a jiu-jitsu guy.
Oh, man.
He's a straight jiu-jitsu guy. He doesn't know no striking.
Yeah.
He just ducks down, throws an overhand. Yeah. Overhand's this lands. Right hand. That's like awkward right hand. Lands right back in my head.
Dang.
You know when... It's like this is Call of Duty stuff, but you know when you throw like a stun grenade or a flash grenade?
Sure.
That was my brain for 10 seconds. I'm not even playing with you. I was frozen for 10 seconds.
Jeez.
And I kept hearing the coach. I'm looking at the coach, but I can't hear nothing. I can't hear not a single thing. Okay. 10 seconds in, I'm like, okay, stay up. The dude was on my back. That's how good. That guy just wanted jiu-jitsu. Yeah. He was on my back, full body triangle.
Oh, man.
On my back.
Jeez.
And I wanted it to keep going down, keep doing that. And the coach was like, no, stay up, screaming.
Man.
And I didn't hear him until like literally 10 seconds after. And then after that, like the guy cut so much weight and I can felt that his leg just started slowly dropping. And I think I threw like 20 flying knees that fight. And,
wow.
And I finished him TKO second round.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, that was, got him.
That was like that one of the crazy stories of my fight career to take a fight in 2 hours.
Yeah, that's and we got to get the picture of you looking up at him because that would be amazing.
He was huge. I want to see this. He was huge. Yeah, all my career has been like that. 2 hours, a week, 8 days, 7 days, 5 days. But before I got the call was I fought my biggest fight. I lost my biggest fight.
Yeah.
I had a contract, UFC contract ready. I had everything ready.
Yeah.
All I had to do is go win.
Yeah.
So this is the pressure.
Yeah. And this is in LFA, right?
LFA, yeah. And all my fights have been around LFA since then.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, main event. I sold so many tickets. I'm talking so many tickets. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I made more money on tickets than my purse.
Nice.
That's how crazy it was.
Yeah.
And I walk in, and it was like a kid in a dream. I have a picture that you can see the whole crowd.
Yeah.
It was packed. This side was all mine.
Nice.
You can tell because I seen everybody in there.
Yeah.
And I walk in there and I lose a decision.
Oh.
That I got. Everybody thinks that I won it, which I think so too. But I went in there, lost it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, ah. I go fight again, and a co-main or like before the co-main, and I lose again.
Yeah.
So I was like, I told my wife, I was like, I'm done with this. I'm going to Morocco. That's where my brain was at.
Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't seen my mom for 10 years and all that stuff. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to Morocco. And then they called me in Morocco while I'm eating bread. And they called me like, hey, we got you a fight on 2 weeks when you come back. So when you come back, you have 2 weeks. I was like, what? Well, wait. Because they wanted to think about 35.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, catchweight 140. So I was like, I hang the phone and I'm eating my bread. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm eating my bread. I show up to the gym at 160. I think it was like 163. And the first week, so whenever we have last week is all weight cut week. So you don't do that much of training. Like you train, you just sweat basically. That's all we care about. But I go in there and I made the weight. Like, you could literally tell how much weight I cut because one of my eyes was literally shutting down by itself when I'm doing an interview. Jeez. He's talking about, I was like, why are you guys interviewing me right now? This is a bad time.
I didn't know you had a lazy eye. Tell us about this.
I'm sorry, sir. Are you having a seizure?
No, because I looked at Instagram and I was like, I am not tripping. I was like, this is, why is my eyes shutting down? I was like, I feel like my eyes are doing this. I'm like, whoa. Hold on. I was like, I almost said pause. Like, this is not good. I was like, what? And then the next day I was like 162.
Man.
After making one, right back I made 139 and a half. I
was wow. Well, because you said you usually gain a good 20, 25 pounds between
when
the
I
weigh-in.
35, yeah.
Between the weigh-in and fight. And you're talking about 24 hours.
No, less than 24
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's not much possible. That's incredible.
Like, I can't cut 3 pounds ever.
Don't forget your body. You get so shocked. There's so much science behind it now. It's like your body gets so shocked that you literally made it to almost like zero body fat.
Yeah.
Then now when you fed it, it will try to hold on to everything that you mm-hmm. have. Be like, okay, that's where you gain up so much. But yeah, I went in that fight, and you guys were there, actually.
So yeah, let's talk about that fight. So we were there. We had a table. It was fantastic.
Excellent.
You know, we were drinking beers, which of course was awesome.
Did you guys hit the potty bus or no?
We should have, but we didn't.
Oh, everybody's bus now. Okay.
Yeah. You ended it in a flying knee. First round, right?
Right in front of
us. Yeah, right in front of us.
Yeah, but it was right in front of us.
Yeah.
Well, that fight going in, I was like, I didn't care. Because when I hang up the phone, I was like, I'm eating food. I was like, because before now, whenever you hear that, it's like different.
Not only was it a flying knee, but you shoved his head down after you knocked him out. Like, not only did you
add an insult to injury.
Not only did you devastate him with the knee, but you threw him into the cage.
You know what the crazy part is? I didn't know I did that until I watched the replay.
Yeah.
I was like I did that?
You discarded that person.
Like, I was like, they kind of disrespected me. They were like, when they offered me the fight, and I'm like, you knew who I am.
Yeah.
You knew exactly who I was. Like, I am no easy fight. Like, this is top prospect. You fighting the guys. If you beat me, you just got a name ahead of you. Like, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And then they took the fight in like a minute.
Yeah.
No hesitation. Signed the contract.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, whatever.
Sounds like that's the theme.
This guy's in for a treat.
When you're ready to go and you're not putting that much pressure on it.
Yeah, and I'm like,
you
I
come
was
in
like,
feeling relaxed.
And I was like, think about it. I didn't train for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I trained for a week for a fight.
Yeah.
It's a week.
Yeah.
Like, after 3 weeks of vacation, basically.
Yeah.
Just hanging out with the family, eating whatever I want, going ham at dessert, doing name it. I was doing it. And I show up and I was like, I don't care.
But I think that speaks more to what you were talking about earlier about preparation, training, doing the right things leading up to the fight and not being so concerned with the outcome of the fight, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't care. I was like, I lost twice. Yeah. I was like, what's the worst going to happen? I lose again. Yeah. Who cares? Let's do it.
And you still felt like you've been doing the things that you need to do to be a winner, right? So
I was like, listen, man, I made weight. I cut 25 pounds. I did all the stuff that I need to do.
Yeah.
And then the crazy part is we had a 12-week camp and then they canceled the whole card. Because LFA was...
they got bought by Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that.
So I had 12 weeks of training.
Yeah.
It's cut it off for me.
Yeah.
That was the hardest diet I ever done. Yeah. 12 weeks. I went from 160 to actually walking around 149.
Wow.
Because I was ready to make 135.
Yeah.
So I was actually walking around 149, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Because it was like hardcore diet. I have to weigh my food. I have to do exactly what it is and all that stuff. So as soon as I heard they canceled it, I was like, I didn't care. I was like, me and like we called him because me and my teammate Brandon were fighting the card. And we called each other. It was like, so should we start eating? Literally, I went to King Soopers.
Stopped the Burger King.
My wife made a pancake Reese's Pieces. It was like, I had so much sugar that day. I think for the whole year I had in that day. That's how crazy.
It's like Logan eating 9 ice cream sandwiches at the office.
It was a dry one, too.
He's like, who wants an ice cream sandwich?
We get him on a Monday morning. Nah, he has like 3 before lunch.
We should get a time lapse of him walking to the kitchen.
Yeah. I think we have some in our freezer right now.
Ice cream sandwiches.
One after. There you go.
So you get the flying knee knockout. You get the call to the UFC. How'd that feel after, you know?
I have a video of that because my manager never FaceTimes me.
Right.
And then all he did, he FaceTimes me with his wife. His wife is my manager, too. That's what I call her.
Right.
She
manages the manager?
Yeah.
Really is what it is.
They called me bald. They were like, so I went into, I'm staying ready. LFA was like, we're not going to fly this kid over. We're going to wait until he comes to Denver. I was like, I'm not waiting until you come to Denver.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to fight.
Yeah.
And coach was like, he wants to fight.
That could be another year, right?
Yeah. Well, what the next fight in Denver was like 6 months.
Yeah.
So I'm not waiting 6 months. So we've been looking for a fight. Nobody wants to fight.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to fight.
Yeah.
Looking for a fight, nothing. And then coach walks up to me. He's like, yo, your name's been running around a lot in the UFC.
Yeah.
I was like, what? As soon as I heard that, I thought I was not even close to the UFC. Yeah. Getting cold, you know?
Yeah.
And then as soon as he told me that, I was like, what the hell? And I've been hardcore diet after my fight. 7 weeks of staying ready for a short notice, whatever it is.
Yep.
And then I, out of nowhere, I get a call from my manager, FaceTimes me. And I'm like, this is weird. Why is he FaceTiming me? And then all he did is this. Looked at me and just smiled. And I was like, don't tell me you got it done. He's like, yep, got it done. And then they literally had everything set up. And I literally just dropped the phone.
Yeah.
I was held in the phone. And Kat started running around the apartment. We're in the UFC. We're in the UFC. Started running.
Yeah.
And I just, like, literally looking at him. And I just like, what? Like, unbelievable. I just dropped the phone. I didn't even know what to say. I was like, dropped the phone.
Yeah.
But the crazy part is my coach didn't know. My coach used to know, but he had a private.
Oh.
So I walk up to the gym. And I was playing with him. I was like, yeah, they took somebody else. He's like, really? We gotta stay ready then. Just keep at it. I was like, no, I got it. And he just lost it.
That's awesome.
Gave me a hug and all that stuff. That was a crazy thing.
I know, because when you got it, I called Sean and I was like, man, we don't have anybody to train us anymore because now he's this big time. And he's too busy for us now. He's too big time for us. So
how many years ago was that?
That was last year, right?
Yeah, last year.
So you fought three times last year, didn't you, in the UFC?
Oh, I fought four times. Well, technically, if you look at it, I fought five times in a year.
Five times? You thought, dang.
In the UFC.
That is crazy.
In the UFC, five times.
That is nuts. So if you could explain your journey up to the UFC in one word, like how would you explain it to this point?
Very interesting.
Yeah. Two words is fine. That's like okay.
Very interesting.
English as a second
language. I like it. Okay. We'll run that together.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Why say interesting, but...
Yeah,
but I like to add the very interesting. You know, you go through so much stuff to achieve one thing.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Like years and years of preparation to get to one moment.
Well, I pretty much live at the gym still, but I used to literally stay at the gym.
You do, but you went from driving in Mark's pickup truck to now you have two Teslas at a house. So I think something has changed a little bit. That's called the come up, bro.
A lot of things changed. The come up was hard.
It's called the come up, bro.
Hard work didn't happen overnight.
Someone else is saying, I'm getting a Tesla. You go, ha!
I'm like, I used to drive my bike to school. So now I get to drive my Tesla. So.
Hey, I know we're about to wrap up. I wanted to ask you one thing. Whenever I'm watching UFC and there's like a ground game going on where you and the opponent are on the mat and there's like still a minute and a half left. You're looking at the clock if you can, and you're just like tired as can be. And what is that like mentally? You're like drained.
Oh, just trying to
get out of the round.
Oh, yeah. You're like, just get me out of here. It's like when you get to that level of tiredness, like your body just like literally wants you to be like, well, might as well, I just want to die now. Like, just put me away. Put me away from my misery. But you're just fighting. But as soon as you're done, you're like, really?
That wasn't that bad.
I was going through that thought in my head, really? Or like, it's stupid how it is.
It's probably as bad as it can possibly be mentally. Oh. You're like, this is it?
Well, because the crazy part is like, if when you're tired and the guy still has energy, that's the worst part.
That's got to be one of the most scariest places on earth, man.
When you're both tired, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Like you both tired.
You can sense it, right?
Yeah, you're like, can sense it. Yeah. But you can sense when somebody's
you're
not
both
tired.
Just tapping each other. We're good.
Hey, man, you're going a little hard right now. Let's just take it easy.
Let's get to the next round.
Take it easy.
You guys see that guy that he punched him and he was like, well, I didn't want to punch him hard. He was my friend.
Yeah, I saw that.
You're going to fight.
Well, you're in a fight. What are you doing?
Yeah.
He ended up winning, so.
Crazy. So, wrap up, last thing. What would be your advice to any young fighters looking to come up the way you came up? What's your advice to them?
Oh, man, I can go millions, but the main thing is obviously finding the right gym, right? You have to find the right people around you. You know? It's like, you can't train at any place, you know. It's not gonna help your career. But the main thing, it's like, stay at the process, you know. Don't focus so much on the results, like you like we've been saying. It's like, it's the process. You're gonna lose some, you're gonna win some, you're gonna have an injury, you're gonna have this, you're gonna have that. It's like, you name it, it's gonna happen. And then you're like, oh, I want to quit. But it's like, just focus on the process and the journey, and that would be the best motivator and the best success you can have.
I love it.
That's great.
Joel Embiid.
And that's good in any process. That's good in any industry, man. Trust the process, right? And if you're in the wrong process, you need to get out, right?
Yeah, find a better process. I saw you guys when you started. God, when was that? When was the launch party at?
Man, we launched July of 2019 and officially launched last year in March with our product. And yeah, man, it's been process all the way. But I think it's the same thing we've been saying. It's like, people who quit will never be successful, like, period. You're not giving yourself an opportunity to be successful because you don't see the journey through.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're a testament to seeing the journey through. You took some W's, you took some L's, but right now look at where you're at. And yeah, I think that's a good place to end, man. Oh, yeah, I think we should end it right there, you know?
Yeah, we don't call them L's. We call them learning experience, you know?
There we go. But yeah.
It is what it is, like I said. But yeah, when you trust the process and focus on the journey, your life is a lot happier.
Boom.
I put a little laxative in your drink for when we train you.
And with that, we don't want Sean to pull a hamstring later.
I'm going to get a nosebleed later. That's what happens.
Hey, Yusuf, we want to thank you, man. Thanks for coming by. Cease and desist.
Appreciate you.
Come by anytime. And that's it, boys. You got anything else? Wrap it up.
Have a lovely day.